This is the third part in our exciting series called When We Move to Our Heavenly Home. Now, in the very first lesson, part one, we discovered that there are going to be three stages in our movement from our life here on earth through all of eternity. The first stage is the journey from our earthly body, how we get out of this body and what happens to this body. We covered that in part one. Number two stage covers the journey from earth to heaven. Okay, we're out of the body. Now we've got to get to heaven. What happens to us and what do we see on that journey to heaven? Now, the third stage is the journey from heaven back to earth. Well, we're still in the second stage. And as we finished up in part two, we had talked about of the journey going from earth to heaven. We had talked about the new robe that we are going to be wearing as soon as we come out of the body. We've talked about the immediate new knowledge that we are going to have when we come out of the body. And then we talked about the chariot that we're going to ride back to heaven with the Lord. And we began to talk about the first view of the holy city as we're riding on that chariot. As we see the holy city come in view, there are five things we're going to notice. The first is the place of the holy city. The second is the size of the holy city. The third is the foundation of the holy city. The fourth is the walls of the holy city. And then we're going to notice the gates of the holy city. And these are things before we get into the holy city that we're going to see while we are riding on that chariot. So let's go back to my letter to Kay where the title says, The Place of the Holy City. You will journey with the Lord through the skies, through space and time, and into the realm of God's heaven. You will soon actually, in less than the time of a twinkle of an eye here on earth, but you will be on heaven's time clock when you make that quick journey. And you will see this holy city come into view, and you will see the place of God's home since it was created on the first day of creation. How do we know this? We know this because the Lord says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, on the first day, the Lord God created His physical home before He created ours. In fact, Paul tells us, For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Colossians 1:16. Creation only took 6 days. And all of the heavens were created on the first day. Nothing has been created since those 6 days were completed. Now, just to be clear and to make sure you understand what is being communicated by the Lord in both Genesis and Colossians, everything about heaven was created on the first day before that blue ball of water was hung out there in space that He had created and called earth. Everything in heaven means all of the holy city. All of the angels of all kinds, all of the creatures that are there, all of the furniture and the fixtures that are there, and everything that we are about to discover that we will enjoy there when we arrive. One more thing. Nothing new has been created in heaven since the day of creation. Now let's focus on one thing that it's a little off base by some teachers. Let's focus on angels for a moment. All of the angels that would ever be were created on the first day of creation. Angels do not marry. They do not have the ability to reproduce. When we arrive, we're going to understand and we're going to see that there are going to be absolutely no little babies in heaven, because there's no marrying between angels, because angels do not have the body parts to reproduce. So there'll be no babies born in heaven. The size of the holy city. Let's set the scene for what you're going to see in that time that takes less than the twinkle of an eye here on earth to get to heaven. When you see that holy city coming, here's what I said to Kay. Let's set the scene at what you will see as the holy city begins to come into view on your journey to your first stop at the throne of the Almighty God. First, you will see, get this, the glow of the city. It will not take long for you to see the holy city after you enter the realm of heaven. It is the largest city ever built. And the Lord God built it for His own home, and the home of God the Father, and the home of God the Holy Spirit. And you will see it far in the distance, because the glow, the gold glow of the city, reaches about 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. The golden glow will make it look like a perfect cube, equal in length, width, and height. That's from Revelation 21:16. Now, to understand the size of the city, let's start with downtown Houston. Traveling north, straight north, not on the roads, but straight north, from downtown Houston, you will go 1,500 miles. You're going to enter into Canada about 50 miles north of the border of the United States. Did you catch that? Just stop a minute. You catch that? From the center of Houston, 1,500 miles north, to the other edge of the holy city, goes 50 miles into Canada. The holy city is that long, that wide, and that tall. Now let's look at the foundation of the holy city. As you journey closer with the Lord, you will see that the foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. Revelation 21:19-20. Every layer is engraved with the name of one of the 12 apostles. Revelation 21:14. Now, we're not exactly sure about the name of one of those 12 apostles. We would like to say that Judas's name is not there on the step. We would like to say that Judas's foundation layer was renamed Paul, and Paul's name was inserted there on Judas's foundation layer. We'd like to say that, but I'm not sure. Judas was an apostle. So Paul also called himself an apostle in 9 of his confirmed 12 letters that he wrote. But as to the surety that his name is in place of Judas's name on the foundation layer, we have no clear communication from the Lord in the Bible. However, at that moment for you, when you arrive, you will know. You will know. When you take your last breath, you come out of your body, you get your full knowledge, you're going to know for sure. And as you arrived at the holy city and see those 12 names, you're not going to be shocked at all to know the names of those 12 that are there, because you will already know that, and you'll see it, and you will not be surprised by what you see written on those foundation layers. Now, as far as the walls of the holy city, as you're coming close, I say this to Kay in Kay's letter, moving closer, you will see the city's walls are 72 yards high or 216 feet. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. Revelation 2, 17 through 18. Jasper is a stone that you can see through, reflecting the color of what is around it. And this is going to be reflecting the golden streets and the golden structures within the walls of the city. And then you will see the gates of the holy city coming even closer. You will notice that each side of the city has three gates, three entry gates. Each gate has a door made of a single pearl, Revelation 21, 21. The gates will never be closed, Revelation 21, 25. Each gate will have an angel standing by it, and you will see them, and each gate will have the name of one of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel engraved on that gate, Revelation 21, 12. Well, we're in a quandary, because as for the names written on the gates, we can probably be assured that they are the actual 12 sons of Jacob. But remember, Joseph and Levi's names will probably be the ones that are there instead of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And if you remember, Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, took two spots in the tribal area of Israel because Joseph got a double blessing. And Levi's tribe became the priest and couldn't own anything. But we can be pretty sure that the names that are going around are going to be the 12 actual sons of Jacob. We may be surprised when we get there. Those names, as you look around those, and you'll know them before you get there, will be Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. And by the way, this was actually the same order of their births when they were born to Jacob and his wives. Now back to the letter. Your first gate of entry will be the one in the middle on the eastern wall. The name of Judah is on that gate. Why this gate? Okay. The descendants of Judah became the royal line and the royal tribe that Jesus would come from. King David was from that tribe, and so was the earthly birth of our Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, the tribe of Judah is always placed on the eastern side of the camp and always in the middle. His gate will lead directly to the throne of God the Father. This is exciting. Now, you have seen your first view of the outside of the city. Now get this, it's time for you to see your first view of the inside of the holy city. And as you begin to see your first view of the inside of the holy city, 17 things are there for you to enjoy. In order, the way that we're going to cover them are these. There's the streets of the holy city, the river of the holy city, the tree of the holy city, the throne of the holy city, the accuser of the holy city, the lawyer of the holy city, the joy of the holy city, the family of the holy city, the housing of the holy city, the food of the holy city, the smell of the holy city, the worship of the holy city, the wedding announcement in the holy city, and the receiving of the bride in the holy city, the resurrecting of the body in the holy city, and the marriage in the holy city, plus the giving of gifts in the holy city. Well, obviously, we're not going to finish all of that today in this part number three, but we're going to go on and start it. So let's begin with the street of the holy city. entering through that gate, or entering through the eastern gate, or entering through the gate, you will see for the very first time the view inside the holy city. And you will notice that the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Revelation 21:21. The city is made of gold, and also all of the streets. The golden streets are so polished that they look like clear glass. Now, I'm sure many of you will enjoy running those streets of this city. So we're going to have a great time. I mean, there is Hallelujah Boulevard, there is Glory Avenue, there is Redemption Circle. They're just going to be great streets for us to walk on the entire time that we are there. But we've come through the gate and we see that golden city, and it just seems to stretch on and on and on and on. I'll talk about how long it is in just a minute. But you're also going to see the river of the holy city. The street is wide. It has a river running along in the middle of the street. It is called the River of the Water of Life, and its waters are as clear as crystal. Revelation 21, 1 through 2. Now, I want to hold off telling you about what's actually inside this River of the Water of Life until we discuss this same river when the city, the holy city, comes down and sits on earth. So I'm not going to tell you what's in that river right now. We're going to discuss that in stage number 3. So let us wait to discuss that until then. Now let me introduce you to the tree of the holy city. Running alongside the banks, there's a bank on each side of the River of the Water of Life, right next to the street of gold, the golden street that's running right outside. Remember, this River of Life is running in the middle of this street that's just going on, looking like it's going on forever. And there's this tree, the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22:2. Okay, let's catch this. This is exciting. Golden Avenue, River of Life, Tree of Life. Now, you've heard about this Tree of Life many times in your life. Each time you were faithful in your chair and read your Bible, you read about the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden, in the second chapter of Genesis. This river with the tree on each side of the banks runs from the gate of Judah, where we will enter directly, will run all the way down to the throne of God the Father, which sits in the exact middle of the holy city. Just to make sure you know your trees, okay? The tree of life is not the same tree as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two different trees. Adam and Eve were supposed to eat of the tree of life. They were forbidden from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Those were two different trees. Actually, we do not know what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible does not tell us that at all. But what we do know about is it has caused a world of trouble here on earth. Now let me introduce you to something else. Let me introduce you to the throne of the holy city, okay? I have already mentioned that the holy city is about 1,500 miles long and wide. That means that the street and the river running from the gate to the throne of God and the size of the tree of life is about 750 miles long, running straight in, because it runs halfway into the middle of the city where the throne of God is. The Lord Jesus will be right with you all the way to the throne. He's not through with you yet. On the way, you will see so many sights in that city. Intersecting streets and houses galore, all glowing in your same favorite color that you used to paint with so much, gold. But it's better than whatever you've used. Very soon on your journey, you will see the throne come into view. And for the first time, you will see God the Father on His throne, and He will be glowing like a polished jasper stone, reflecting all the colors of the most precious stone in the Scripture. Brilliant and transparent, and it will be your first glimpse of the magnificent glory of God. The emerald-colored rainbow encircling the throne, you will see that rainbow, and it will surely catch your eye. Revelation 4:4. In front of His throne, you're going to see some other things. You're going to see a beautiful golden altar. Revelation 8:3. And around God's throne, you will see 24 thrones and a man sitting on each throne in a white robe just like yours. And each man will have a wreath of gold on his head and a victor's crown just like the one you are about to receive. Revelation 4:4. He will also have a harp in his hand and a bowl of incense. You will not be afraid of all that you see and hear at the throne. Out and around the throne, lightning will flash, thunder will peal, and you will hear the mighty sound of voices. Revelation 4:5. These are the words of the thousands and thousands of angels, almost without number, standing around and behind the throne of the Father, saying to Him and to Jesus, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 5:13. Just in front of the throne will be seven beautiful burning lampstands. Four special heavenly creatures are there too. But the most beautiful thing you have ever heard will be from these creatures saying continuously, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." Revelation 4:8. When the creatures say these words, the 24 men who are sitting on the thrones will fall on the crystal floor and bow before the eternal God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. They will be holding their crowns out in front of them, and you will hear them say, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." Revelation 4:11. Who were these 24 elders? Now, scholars of the past are mixed on this subject. But in reality, the Bible does not tell us who these men are. If, as some say, they were the 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 apostles, I will tell you this. I have a little difficult time accepting that, because their role at the eternal throne is so important. So let's say if 12 of them were the sons of Jacob, then from creation, their 12 thrones would have been emptied for almost 2,352 years until all those sons of Jacob had died and went to heaven. Now, in heaven's time, those thrones would have been emptied for more than 2 days out of seven. If the other 12 thrones were the 12 apostles, that means that those thrones of those 12 seats would have been emptied for more than 4,200 years, more than 4 days in heaven's time out of seven. That means that 12 of those thrones would have been emptied for 4 days to date, and the other 12 would have been filled in fewer than 2 days to date. So it is for that reason alone that I suspect that those 24 elders were created beings on the first day of creation for the purpose of the worship of the Lord, just like the angels and the creatures that were created, all the other creatures that were created on the first day, to worship the eternal Lord as eternal created creatures. We will find out the truth when we get there. Now to the accuser of the holy city. But you know what? I think we need to wait until part four to talk about this accuser at the holy city, because some of you are going to be surprised that there is going to be an accuser in the holy city when we get there.